This is our second year Greek class assignment for the Baptist Bible Seminary, Baptist Bible Institute, for the Bible for Today. The date is February 10th, 1983, and we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, 31 through 11, 18. And the Dana and Matty Intermediate Greek Grammar, pages 189 to 197, paragraphs 177 to 180. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is tape number 1064/17. It's the 17th lesson in a series, the 15 lessons in the first semester, and 15 more for the second semester of our four-hour Greek class second year. Let's open our class with a word of prayer tonight, if we can. Dear Lord, we thank Thee again for the privilege of studying Thy Word, how wonderful our Savior is as we learn of Him in just this chapter 10 and chapter 11, His miracles, His power. We thank Thee, Lord, for the ability to understand the language that this gospel was written in. We pray that Thou wouldst help Ruth and Mr. Arson be with Bill as he's on special duty and cannot make it this evening. We thank Thee for the privilege of listening to Thy voice from Thy Word. We pray Thy blessings upon all of our activities, be with our families, and guide our homes, that we may glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll start with John 10:31. Is that? That's where we're going today. All right, I'll play it, and then you go ahead and read it also, if you would, please, Ruth.
John 10:31. Epastasan un palen lithus hoi judaioi hena lithasosen auton. John 10:32.
Okay, excuse me.
Dioi, henna lithasosen auton.
All right, go ahead, Ruth.
Epastasan un palen lithus hoi judaioi henna lithasosen auton.
Okay.
Then the Jews again lifted up stones in order that they should stone him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ebastasan is what they were.
Aorist.
All right.
Bastazo.
Bastazo. First aorist. Bastasan with a sigma, the alpha there. And lithasosin is what?
Aorist subjunctive.
That's right.
Lithazo.
Lithazo also. Lithasosan. Every time we have that sigma, it's usually the zeta. Zeta that it goes from. Why were they stoning him?
Because he said, I and my father are one.
That's right. And they said, thou being a man, makest thyself God. Very powerful, which we'll see later on in the next verse. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. I guess that's 31. They took up stones to stone him. My, how they hated him, didn't they? All right, any other comments, questions on that one? Let's go on to 10:32 then.
John 10:32. Apekrite autois hoiesus pola kala erga edexa humin ectu patras mu dia poion auton ergon lithazete me.
Okay. Of course, the penalty for blasphemy was death, wasn't it? By stone. So this is what they were doing.
I thought they were doing God a favor.
Right, right. Go ahead, Ruth.
Jesus answered them, many good works I showed you from my Father.
Because of which one? Which of them? Of which of them?
Of them, those works? Is that what it
means? In other words, because of which work among them? See, of all of them. See, of which work of all of these?
Work out of
a little number.
are you stoning me?
Uh-huh. So he certainly asked them a question, didn't he? Edexa is what? Edexa?
Edexa is the aorist of
Dex. Well, it's a funny one. Dek nu me. Dek nu me. It's a me verb. Dek nu me. And the lefadzete is what?
That's the present.
That's right, present of Lithazo, isn't it? Present tense. For which work are you right now in the process of stoning me? Lithazo sin.
Is it because they picked up the stones and were saying, that considered?
Yes, I guess so. Are you stoning me? In other words, are you going to stone me? It's the present, that's the pending present. Remember, we took that up last week, didn't we? Let me see if we can get that pinned down as to the exact name there. Page 184, 182, progressive present, customary present, futuristic present, historical present, tendential present. That's it. 186 at the top, isn't it? Well, which of these works do you have a tendency to back that to the sample? 1032, isn't it? The very example that Dana Manny used. Do you want to stone me? You have a tendency? Are you going to stone me? So the beautiful different types of nuances of Greek, it's interesting, isn't it? All right, so what is then the apokritheson? Of course, is aorist passive apokrinomai, we know. And lethudzomen is again present, isn't it? What is own, Ruth, there, that own? Do we have there an own? You see 32. Oh, you don't see any own. Must be a different text. There's an own. All right, that would be the present participle there. 32. Do we have a... All right, that pretty well takes care of 32. And that dia with the accuser. I think that's an account of which of these, or because of which of these do you stone it. All right, go right ahead then, Ruth, with number
33, 1033. John, 1033. Apokritheson auto hoiudaioi legontes, peri kalu ergu u lethudzomense, alla peri blasphemias, kai hoti su anthropos on pois sauton theon.
Oh, that's where the on is in the next verse. Okay.
The Jews answered him, saying, concerning a good work, we are not stoning you, but concerning blasphemy, and because you, being a man, are making yourself God.
All right. That's a terrible thing of blasphemy, isn't it? And the own there is what?
That's the participle of Amy, isn't it?
That's right, present participle of Amy. And let's see, we're stoning you because of blasphemy. The deity of Christ is certainly clear here, isn't it, verse 33? Makest thyself God, Theon. They knew exactly when you say, I and my Father are one. There's no question about it, is it? All right, any other comments or questions on 33? Death because of blasphemy. All right, let's go to 34 then.
John 10:34. Apokrithe autois hoiesus ukesti gegramenon en to nomo himon ego epa theoi este ja.
Okay.
Jesus answered them, it is true, is it not, that you, it is written, it has been written in your law, I said, ye are God. Is that the end of that?
I think that is, yes. All right. Apokrithe, of course, there is passive. Esti gegramenon is what, Ruth?
It's the perfect.
Periphrastic, perfect passive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Of what verb there?
My goodness,
it's
graphal?
Yes, graphal. And what's the force of the perfect in this? S.T.
Kegramano. Completion and done, isn't it?
That's right, completed. It has been written, and the results carry right on into the present. See, and it stands written right even today. See, that's a beautiful, illustrative picture. It's a perfect passive. It has been written, you see, and still stands written in the Word of God, and we still have it preserved. See, I think that's a tremendous argument for the preservation of God's Word, the perfect tense, rather than just it was written once in the aorist, and that's all. We don't have it anymore, just the originals. But there's nothing that's been preserved and kept. But here, this perfect, to me, is a tremendous argument for the preservation of the words of God in the original language text. All right, anything else on Ape, I guess he said, your gods. Of course, gods in the sense of, like angels are called gods, you see. Elohim, you see, that word is used for powerful beings that have, like judges were called gods. Anyone who has great authority, like God, yet they're not God, but their authority. That was the definition here that they're using.
I misunderstood that. I thought when say they are God's, this means that they are God's people.
Oh, I see. Possessive. No, this was back in the, that there were judges and so on, that was one of the uses.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the word for angels sometimes is Elohim, see, which is God, the sons of God, the angels, many times, and God. And I know that that's one of the uses. I looked that up in the Gesenius Hebrew lexicon and to see what that means, Elohim. And one of the uses is powerful beings, God's rulers. Let me just look that up here while we're here so we'll have it. You know, Gesenius is one of the... This is the concordance. I want the lexicon. Here it is, big fat one. It's Davidson. It's Gesenius is one of the editors of it, so it has his name. Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, but it's originally the Gesenius one. I look under Elohim and see some of these meanings. I looked it up one time in the quarterly there, the Regular Baptist Press. The man said we didn't like the word his angels. It should be angels instead of God or something like that. And the angels, it's in one of the Psalms, I guess. And I looked that up at that time, and one of the usages and meanings for Elohim was angelic beings. So in other words, it was not an error at all, but they just said that it was. Among the many meanings of Elohim, number of occurrences, rulers, judges, either as divine representatives at sacred places or as reflecting divine majesty and power. See, mm-hmm. Elohim, that's a word in the Hebrew for God, is the name for God also. So that's one use. And then divine ones, superhuman beings, including God and angels. See, like in Psalm 8:2, when I consider the heavens, the work of the hands, mm-hmm. and the sun, what is man that thou hast made him a little lower than the angels? Mm-hmm. And they wanted to say a little lower than God, because it's Elohim. And that was the issue, I think, in the Regular Baptist Press lesson. And the author criticized the King James Version for this mistranslation, quote-unquote, which he alleged was true, of that word angelos, or rather Elohim, as following the Septuagint, which has angel, a little lower than the angels, angelos. But you see that what they didn't know is that Elohim is a very valid translation for angels and divine ones, of partaking of divine powers, sometimes God himself. And then angels, the third meaning under here is angels. The sons of God, the sons of God's equal angels. In other words, the sons of God sang, you know, in Job.
Where that's quoted in Hebrews is the word angel used?
Lower than the angel, that's right, it is quoted in Hebrews. Okay. Which corrects the whole thing and gives the proper interpretation of the whole Elohim, see, the passage, see. But he pointed to the Hebrew, the Old Testament, and he made this statement. But as I taught that lesson in my class, I said, well, this is no mistake at all. This is one of the valid uses of Elohim. I meant to write the Regular Baptist Press and write the author, but I neglected to do so like so many other. But, so this is one of the regular, it can be God himself, the true God, too. But these other meanings are very definitely part also. So that's the reference that he had. They shall be called gods. I think that was... What is that quoted? Do you have I don't have my Bible here. I think it seems to be referring to Judges. It may be in the book of Judges. I should have my Scopus reference Bible to give the cross-reference, but I don't have it. All right, go right ahead then. Did we finish? That was 33, was it?
34, I believe.
Are we on 34 now?
No, we're on 35 now.
Oh, 35. Okay, Ruth?
10:35. Ekenus epe theus pros hus logos to thou agenita, kai u dilatai ruthenai he grafe. John 10.
Okay.
If he called those people, them gods, towards whom the word of God came, and the scripture is not able to be loosed.
Mm-hmm. Loosed. Broken.
Loosed. I guess that's the end.
That's the end of the verse. All right, I've got this now in the school for reference. Bible just happened to be over here. I don't know whose it is. I think it may be a daughter-in-law's. To David. David's old Bible that he gave to Richie. His little nephew. And I guess Richie brought it back since it was Dave's. I think I originally got it for David. It's 10:34, ye are gods. That's Psalm 82:6. That's what it is, 82:6. Let's read that there, 82:6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Here God, in other words, you're all children of the Most High God. Well, the children is part of that distinction in that context, but you're gods, you're judges, and capable.
Is that said in rebuke, sarcastically?
Well, it may be. They know not, neither shall they understand. Verse 5 says, they walk on in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you're gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men. Father, Mother, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. It's your rebuke, I think it is. How long shall you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. For they know not whether they will understand. So I think that's it is partially rebuked. All right?
About angels. I observe in certain cases the angel was speaking like God was speaking.
Yes. So sometimes the angel of the Lord.
I understood that God was speaking through the mouth of angels.
Through the mouth of angels, yes. And Moses received the law at the disposition of angels. See, that was through the mediation of angels. God has used angels many times. And of course, when he went to warn Abraham what he was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was two men,
yes.
And they were angels, and they were men. They looked like men, but they were angels and divine messengers. In fact, one of them probably was the Lord Jesus in pre-incarnation.
Yes,
the Son of God.
Right, or two angels.
Yes, Christophany and Theophany.
One who remained
yes.
With Abraham, that was the Lord
That's
Jesus.
Right, the Lord himself in pre-incarnate state. Theophany or Christophany, we call
then
it.
Then only the two angels, they went to Sodom.
That's right. So, that was 35, wasn't it, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. I guess we've got everything pretty well. There, Apen, of course, the heiress of Lego. Luthenai. That's a beautiful form, Ruth. What do we have there?
I would say that was the aorist infinitive.
Mm-hmm. And it's aorist passive, isn't it? Luthenai. Yes. Theta, eta. Mm-hmm. Of what root would that be?
Luo.
Luo. That's our regular verb luo. The regular verb that we learn in the paradigm or paradigm.
We learned that exhaustively.
Exhaustively. And that's one of the most important verses of the whole scripture about the preservation of the word of God. The scripture is not able to be loosed and broken and dissolved. See, that's the preservation. Now, Pastor Peyton preached on that about 4 or 5 months ago. A strong message on the preservation of scripture and the authority of the word of God. He just came in there and just really opened that passage up. And he quoted the meaning of this word, you know, luo and so on. It means it should not be loosened, it should not be unbound, unfastened, untied, disengaged, set free, set at liberty, delivered to break up, to dismiss, to destroy, to demolish. Metonymy is to infringe, to make void, to nullify, to declare free of privilege. I like to break up or to destroy or demolish. See? In other words, that word, and far from the Bob Jones University article on that only the message of God is preserved to this day, not the very words of God, absolutely contrary to Jesus' words here. The scripture, hegrafe. And that refers, I think, to the Old Testament scripture, by application even into the New Testament, cannot be destroyed.
Is the force of the word dunatai, it just doesn't say that it won't be.
No.
It says it's not able to.
That's
does
right.
Does that mean that no matter what they do?
That's right. That will not, see, God is
it's
preserved.
Not able to be.
That's right, to be destroyed, you know, ultimately and finally and at long last. Now, a copy here and a copy there, obviously, yeah. Ben Knives will come in and destroy them like Jehoiakim did to Jeremiah's prophecy, but not able to be dunamai, that's not have the power, the ability, the authority, the right, the title to destroy. That's the strength to do it, see? Mm-hmm. That's right. Not just that they are not able to be, not just they won't be. That's right. All right, that's 35. I guess with now we got that, the scripture. Hang it up there, the scripture.
Talking mm-hmm. about Bob Jones, this is the third. I think this one has his own doctrine in certain ways.
Well, that's possible. He does, in this particular issue, stay pretty close to Dr. Bob Jones Jr., his father,
mm-hmm.
and they're working hand in glove in this whole area of the text of Scripture. And Dr. Custer is very close with both of them on the Westcott and Hort text being the best and the other traditional text not being good and so on. And so they're working hand in hand. And Custer, of course, is being given free rein, I think, to teach anything he wishes to teach in the whole area of the Scriptures and the authority of Scriptures there at Bob Jones. And that's a sad travesty because he's so far off on so many things in his latest book, The Thing, The Truth Behind the King James Version Controversy, which we're now typing. Polly is doing a good job little by little every Wednesday to type and getting into answering it. See, I've got these tapes on it, 13 hours of answer. Let me just pause here and point out some of the titles that are going to be on that thing. Perhaps have that in there. Let me see. Yes, here's the titles. This Focus on Missions came February 83 from Fellowship of Missions, which are a group of fundamental missions agencies. They talk about these two big congresses. One of them is the World Congress of Fundamentalists, which is going to be at Bob Jones University in August 1-7, 83. But some of the topics that they're going to discuss, the whole theme is the theme of the authority of Scripture. But yet, with their position at Bob Jones on Scripture, some of it's going to be very tricky. In fact, one of the topics, the authority of Scripture versus the confusion of English translations. And you know what they're going to say on the thing is, and then they say the strong fundamentalist position, which is their position, exposes and separates from all ecclesiastical denial of that faith. Compromise with error and apostasy from the truth. Well, you see, the preservation only of the message of God to me is a denial of the faith in the Scripture. See, so I don't know how they're going to reconcile some of these things. That should be interesting. The authority of Scripture, but then when it comes right down to it, you just have the message, but not the words, and this is going to be a very strange. I'd like to be there sitting in a seat recording the whole thing, but on the other hand, I don't think I may not be permitted. And you can't record anything down there about Jones anyway, see. But the Scripture cannot be broken. I just was anxious to get that tape and see what those men are going to say on the versions of Scripture, because they won't come out in the same way that the, in fact, a lot of the men that are on that program, the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship men, are strong men for the King James Version. They do not concur on that particular issue. So it'll be interesting what they're going to say on that. All right, that's too long on that, but that Scripture cannot be broken, dissolved, abolished. That's a very solid verse and very important. All right, Ruth, 36, please.
36. Han ha-pater heg yeseth kai apestelen eston kosmon humes legate hoti blasphemes hoti epon huios tu thou amy.
The Father sanctified and sent into the world, ye are saying, you blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Very good. By the way, that ooh in the question there was properly translated up there in verse 34, expecting an answer yes. Alright. Han ha-pater hegiase. Why is that hon there, Ruth? That
accusative?
Mm-hmm. Why is that accusative, Ellen?
Because the verb sanctified and sent.
Okay, that's good.
The action. It receives the action.
It receives the action, direct object of those two verbs. What is hegiase?
That's
sanctified,
made holy.
Mm-hmm. From what tense is that?
Let me see. That would be the aorist.
Mm-hmm. Aorist, what verb there?
Hagias.
Okay, first aorist, and apostelen.
That's also aorist.
All right.
Apostello.
And you can tell that is aorist by what?
There's not two lambda.
So that's your change root up. Also apostel, S-T-E-I-L instead of stel. All right. Blasphemes is what?
That is the present.
All right, that's right. Yeah. What verb then?
Blasphemeo.
Blasphemeo it is. Mm-hmm. Blasphemeo. Apon, of course, is a second aorist of Lego. So just because I said I'm the Son of God, here the one that the Father sent, they didn't want to believe he sent him, and set apart, sanctify, just for saying he's Son of God. Any other questions on that?
Well, now, they didn't say he was blaspheming because he said he was the Son of God. They said he said he was God.
He maketh himself God, yes.
The Lord must be saying that for him to say, I am the Son of God, is the same as saying, I am God.
That's right. That's very good.
Yes.
That's very
Otherwise,
good.
Otherwise, that wouldn't be blasphemy.
That's right. It wouldn't be blasphemy. That's right.
And in one sense, we're all sons of God.
Yes, in that
Certainly
sense.
They thought they were.
Yeah. Except not in the same sense as being the only begotten Son of God.
Yeah.
You know, but
so
we are.
That must be what he's meaning here.
Yeah. The only begotten Son of God. And, of course, thou makest thyself Theon, God, see. Being a man. And he is saying here, but if the Father sent him forth, he'd have to be God, wouldn't he? Deity. Because he came forth as a member of the Trinity. And of course, that's what he's saying also. Good. Any other comments or questions on that? All right. 1036 or 37, I guess.
John 1037. Ei upoio ta erga tu patros mu me pistewete moi. John.
All right.
If I am not doing the works of my Father, do ye not believe me? Or,
no, this wouldn't be a question because you just have the one dot, not the.
I didn't mean to make it a question.
Oh, okay, all right. All right.
isn't the ye in there in the ending of this day what day?
Oh yes, oh sure, mm-hmm. Ye is right.
How would you get that into the English?
Well, you see, here is a may with what tense, Ruth?
Is that imperative?
That's, well, not necessarily. It could be a similar form. I think, in fact, it is the same form, probably. But it's like an imperative. It's a prohibition. It's a negative prohibition with what tense? What is that tense? Pistewate.
Is it present tense?
That's present. That's right. So what would the force of a negative prohibition in the present tense be?
They're doing it then.
That's right. So it's really like stop believing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop believing in me. If I am not doing it, then don't believe me. Stop believing in me. See, they are believing in him, some of them anyhow. Just quit it. You already are doing so. All right, go ahead. Pardon the interruption there.
Well, I'm pretty
sure. Oh, that's the end of the verse, isn't it?
Verse.
Okay, all right. So, aim u poyo is what? Poyo.
That's the present tense.
All right, with the epsilon iota. Yes, poyo. You wouldn't need the subjunctive. It's probably a similar form. Poyo, poyo, poyo. First person singular, but I think with the A, epsilon iota, you just need the indicative. All right, and pistewata, we've seen, is the present. All right, any other comments or questions on that one? All right, 38, Rufo.
1038. Ede poyo. Kane moi, me pistewate. Pois ergois pisteusate, hena gnote, kai pisteusate, hoti en emoi ho pater, kago en auto.
All right.
Do not believe me, believe the works, in order that ye should know and should believe that the Father in me and I.
He is understood, right? Mm-hmm.
In him. Yes, but it's not in.
No, that's true. But we can put the copula in there.
Why is it not in there, Dr. Reed?
Well, you don't need the SD many times. It's just an understood phrase, Father in me, you know, is understood. It's just one of those phenomena, rather, of Greek and also Hebrew and many other languages. They just don't always feel the need to use it. And so this is one of these instances here. 39, that was?
No, it was
38. 38, okay. Pestelwete as well.
Is that the imperative?
Let's see. I guess 38. Pestelwete. Yeah, that's the just the regular present subjunctive. See, pestelwo, pestelwete. It seems like it might be a imperative, but see, the eta with the eta in the ending would give it the imperative.
And what
the,
would be pestelwete?
Pestelwete would be your aorist. See. That would be your aorist from pistewo. The sigma gives your aorist. And sate.
Regular, not
imperative. Oh, it would be subjective. I think it would be for sure, yeah. Okay. Believe once and for all in the works, you see, in the deeds. Okay. That's pistewo sate. But here's pistewete. That's
subjunctive. Mm-hmm.
See, con. See, at, and even and if, you see, you do not.
If
you should not believe me, that's right.
All right, I see.
And gnote is what?
That's the subjunctive.
Gnosko. Well, it wouldn't be the subjunctive there. It's gnosko. It's just a regular second aorist active, either imperative or, excuse me, or subjunctive. You're right. Gnote. It is subjunctive, possibly, or imperative. Either one, in this case, in order that he may know, I guess, be the subjunctive after henna. And pistelsete would be what?
Aorist subjunctive?
Aorist subjunctive, present subjunctive of, excuse me, you're right. Pistelsete would be the aorist because of the sigma, right, have to be. That I am in the Father and I in him, that he is, I, the Father's in me and I in him. All right, any other question or comment on 38? All right, so the works bear witness to the Lord and his word. All right, let's go to 39 then.
John 10:39. Ezeitun un palin auton piathai, kai ex elten ectes keros auton.
All right.
Then they were seeking again to feed him, and he went out from their hand.
That's right.
That's something. Singular hand.
Yes, but in meaning plural, probably a singular with a plural meaning, you know, without of their hands. In other words, out of, he delivered, was delivered out of their hand in the sense of a generic hand, you know, like we would say, out of the paw of the lion. He had more than one paw, and David, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, the 39, and Zaytun as well.
Imperfect.
Zayteo. Zayteo. Piasai.
That's the infinitive.
All right. What tense is that? It's the word. The verb is piazzo, if that would help you. So if you got piasai, what would that be?
Aorist.
See, the alpha iota ending is your aorist indicative, or aorist indicator, I should say, of the infinitive. And exhale then.
The aorist.
Exarchomai. He went out, so he was delivered from their hand. Any other questions on that one? And they were seeking the imperfect, as they turned, trying the best they could. All right, let's go to 10:40. John 10:40.
Kai apilthe kalin peran tu Jordanu, eston topon hopu hein Ioannes to proton baptizon.
Wait a minute.
Kai eminen eke.
Yeah, we're going to tack that on. All right, go ahead.
And again, he went over. He went.
Went off, went away.
Across the Jordan. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Across the Jordan into the place where John was baptizing before and.
Or at the first, there. Either before or at the first portal. And was remaining there. All right. Apelte?
Apelte is the aorist of...
Apelte again, right? And baptizon? Yep, present person, baptizo. Eminen.
Is that aorist?
Yes. Of Meno, how do you know it would be aorist?
Epsilon,
right? That would be a different root. So it would be a second aorist, Eminon. Endings are similar to the imperfect. But it is the... Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, it is the aorist. Yeah. I see the other text has Eminen. And they have that imperfect. It's interesting. But this Eminen definitely would be the aorist because of the different root. All right, so this is... 40. That was 40. All right, go on then, if you have no other comments or questions, to 41 then, Ruth.
John 10:41. Kai poloi elthon prosauton, kai elegon hati Ioannis men semeon epoesen uden, panta de hosa apen Ioannis feritutu alethei ein.
All right.
And many came towards him, and they were saying, John did...
On the one hand, see the men.
Okay.
Yeah, but then.
On one hand, John did no sign, but all whatever John said concerning this one was true.
All right. That was 41. Epon is heirs. Epoison is heirs. All right, that's, I guess we have pretty well. He did not do anything, did he? Not one sign he did. And all things whatsoever, as many as he said, John said concerning him, they were true. And Ain is what?
It's the imperfect.
See, it is a past tense of aim. It's imperfect ain of aimi. And how about the hain in verse 40, the last part of verse 40? Hapu hain. What is that? Page, it's a, where it says 41 and two words to the right. Verse 40 near the end, Tantapon Hapu Hain. Is that a name?
Yes,
uh-huh.
It's the same
word,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it a Hain or is it a name?
Well, I can't see.
It seems like it's a Hain. You don't have your magnifier, do you? You don't have your magnifier.
Nope.
Okay. Seems like that's a Hain. The place which. But it may be an Ain. See, in which Ain with a baptizon, he was baptizing. Mm-hmm. The place where, yes, I guess that may be an ain. Well, I took it an ain the first time, and I looked at the thing. I tried to find that rough or smooth breathing.
And they're mighty small, aren't they?
They sure are. I think I made an error then in translating and in reading that. I said hain, hapu hain, but it should be hapu ain. All right, the place where he was, and then baptizo. That's a, it's a periphrastic, what they call a periphrastic when you have the participle with the part of the verb to be. Was baptizing. It's sort of a more descriptive, type of verb. All right, any other questions on 41 or comments? All right, 42 then, 10:42. Ruth.
John, 10:42. Kai epistosan poloi eke eisauton.
And many believed on him there.
On him there. Epistosan is what?
The aorist of
Pistos. Aorist of Pistos. Okay, any other comments on 42? And many believed and trusted him. All right, chapter 11 then.
The Gospel of John, chapter 11. John 11:1. Ein de tis asthenon Lazarus apo Bethanias ectes comes Marias kai Marthas tis adophes autes.
All right.
But there was one being sick, Lazarus. From Bethany of the city of Mary and Martha, his sister, Penelope.
His sister, mm-hmm.
And while his sister...
Oh, wait a minute, let's see.
of him?
It's the brother. the brother of them.
The brother? What would the word for sister be?
Well, I guess it would be sister. The sister of him. Lazarus' sister, but it's Altais. Altais. Looks like her sister.
Martha was the sister of Mary, is that how?
And Martha, her sister.
Okay,
that's
right.
Got to be it. It isn't plural at all, that's fine. That was a little bit of a trick.
Out of the city of Mary and Martha, her sister.
And Martha, her sister, okay. Asthenon, you said also already, was the participle of Asthenao, probably, and Ain, of course, imperfect of Amy. All right, we start the resurrection chapter, don't we? Chapter 11. Any other comments or questions on one? All right, 11:2 then, right?
John 11:2. Einde Maria, he aleptasa ton curion muro, kai ekmaxasa tus podos autu, tais thrixen autis, heis ha adolfos lazaros, heis thene.
All right.
But it was Mary who anointed the Lord with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother
Hates Lazarus.
Lazarus was sick.
Mm-hmm. Whose brother Lazarus was sick, was sick. Well, was being sick, was continuously sick, was imperfect, probably. Asteno. All right. Yes, it is. Hey, aleipsasa. What's aleipsasa?
It must be aorist
with the sigma, I suppose it is. All right. It's a participle of alepho. Alepho, to anoint. Alepho. Aleipsasa. Different sexual meaning, but that would be the participle. And of course, being an aorist there, let's see, it would be the one having anointed, the one who anointed in the past, having anointed the Lord with myrrh, all right? Ekmaxasa would be what? Ekmaxasa.
That must be aorist also.
Ekmaso, aorist also. Ekmasa, all right? Ekmaso, M-A-S-S-O, mu, alpha, sigma, omega. Ekmaso, all right? Wiped there with the hairs. Plural, isn't it? But we say hair. Again, they say hairs, but we would say hair in a general sense. Whose? Haste. Of whom? Lazarus. And asthene, you hinted at that as you translated it.
Imperfect
of asthene, all right. Was continuously sick. He had been sick for quite a while. All right, any other questions or comments on 2? All right, let's go to John 11:3 then, Ruth.
John 11:3. Apestelan un hai adelphi pros auton legusai curia ide han phileis asthene John.
Then the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you are loving is sick.
Alright. And asthene is what? Right, regular present of Asteneo. Is sick. And Legusai. Do we have Legusai in there? Let's see.
Yes.
Right.
That's participle of, is it?
Well, this would be the participle, the present active participle of Legusai. Feminine plural, Legusai. Because they're, why is it plural, feminine plural? All right. Both sisters, all right, saying And they were both saying, I guess, weren't they?
I guess the note was saying from both of them. Is that the idea? Did they
yes.
Send a note or a messenger? Is that
well, they sent, therefore, the sisters, saying, I suppose, either a messenger or they sent someone with a note. That's right, either one. Doesn't say, but we can draw our conclusion.
They didn't go themselves.
No, apparently not. It says they said, apestelon, they sent. That's right. Which is what?
Eros,
apestelon, from apestelo. Astene, present of asteneo. Ide, second aorist imperative of horao, behold, and so on. All right, apestelon, we've got that in later sign. All right, phileis, of course, present indicative of phileo. Any other comments or questions of the three? Him whom thou lovest. He had a very warm hearted relationship, didn't he, with Lazarus? Are you warm enough, Ruth? I could put
yes,
more
heat.
You warm enough, Mr. Russian? All right.
Yes, he's
warm
enough.
Okay.
Go to sleep.
That's good. No problem. All right, go ahead with the next one, Ruth.
Level 4. Akusos de Jesus, Eben, haute he astenea, ukesti prospanaton, al huper tes doxes, to thou, hena doxaste, ha huios, to thou, diautes.
Okay.
Hearing, Jesus said.
Hearing or having heard, see, in the accusing, the heirs.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This sickness is not to death,
mm-hmm.
but.
Before death or with the goal of death. And why is it haute he astenea? Because it's feminine, isn't it? He astenea is feminine.
Haute, yes,
all right, go ahead.
But on behalf of the glory of God,
mm-hmm.
in order that the Son of God should be glorified through it.
Mm-hmm. Through it, now taste refers back to what?
Back to the sickness.
The sickness, which is feminine, therefore this is feminine. All right, verse 4, akousas is what, Ruth?
That's a participle, aorist.
Aorist participle. Mm-hmm. And apen, of course, is second aorist lego. Estin is a regular present of ami. Doxaste. Doxaste is what, Ruth?
Should be
glorified.
Subjunctive.
Aorist subjunctive. And it's passive subjunctive. That might be glorified, right? Not might glorify, but might glorify, be glorified. Doxanza, okay. Theta eta, aorist passive subjunctive. Any other comments or questions on that verse? All right, let's go on to the next one, please.
John 11:5. Agapa de Jesus, tain marthan, kai tain adelphain, autes, kai ton lazaron, John.
For Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
All right. Agapa is what?
Agapa, is that imperfect?
Yes, imperfect. He was loving.
He was loving.
Agapao, agapao. Agapa, he was loving. He continued love for a long period. It's been a long acquaintanceship they apparently had there. We went to Bethany, the sister, you know, where Lazarus was. They had a tomb there. They called it Lazarus' tomb, but nobody thinks it was Lazarus' tomb because it was inside the city walls during the time of Lazarus living there, and they never bury anybody inside the city walls. So it's a fake name, but interesting. We met there a lady and her three daughters, who was a very poor woman. I met her. She said, would you come in? Come in to see me and see my house. Bring the rest of them in. And afterwards, I went and she said, do you have a dollar, you know, money? But that's all right. A very small, little tiny thing. I took a picture of the girls. I had them a tape of them singing. They sang something and I asked what it meant and so on. It's in Arabic. But she's a refugee from a bigger city and they had to go down. I think there are 7 or 8 people in the family living in a matter of 10 feet by 12 feet, you know, one room, and they had bedding stacked on one side. Said, the father and mother sleep here, girls here, boy here, cook here. You know, she showed me around in different places in her accent. But my, the poverty. What a terrible situation.
An Arab person?
Arab person that was thrown out of other places when the war came, you know. And so they're tightened up into little tiny quarters. And she, you know, wasn't too happy about all these things. But that was in Bethany. That's the same place where Mary and Martha were in Lazarus. It's sort of a hilly little city close by to Jerusalem. He would retire there. He would go there apparently even at night, it says in Scripture. He would leave Jerusalem, go down the Kidron Valley, and right at the top of the hill was Mount of Olives, and then I think just to the other side of the Mount of Olives, just a little bit over the brow, was Bethany. It's about 2 miles. And he'd just walk 2 miles, and that's where he'd stay at night a lot of times. Then he'd go back to the city of Jerusalem, and if you read the scripture, you see Bethany's in there quite a bit. All right, let's see. We told about that, didn't we? What was that, verse 4? 5? All right, go right ahead with 6 then, Ruth.
And 11:6. Hos un ekusen hoti astere, totemen emenen en ho hein topo duo emeras.
All right.
Therefore, when he heard that he is sick.
Mm-hmm. See, that would be indirect discourse, right? Mm-hmm. He heard that he was sick, we would translate, but he heard, quote, he's sick. Exact words, all right? Mm-hmm.
Then he stayed.
Men, probably in there, on the one end, or there. In the place.
What?
In the place which, I guess, well, anyway, this is an ain, I guess, in which
he was 2 days.
Yeah, right. He stayed in the place in which he was 2 days. All right, the duration of 2 days. Ekusen, of course, aorist of aku, astene is the present of astene, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So he exactly what he heard, that he is sick, and we would trust that he was eminen as well.
Aorist.
All right, this heirs to men, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, any other comments or questions? 6. He waited, didn't he? Purposely waited and delayed before going to heal him and to raise him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely. All right, sometimes the Lord delays, and he does that today sometimes. And we don't understand sometimes. All right, next verse, please, Ruth.
John 11:7. Et beta meta tuto lege tois matetais. Agomen, estein, iudaion, palin. John.
All right.
Then after this, he is saying to the disciples, let us go into Jordan again.
Okay. And I guess the verbs are there. Agomen, pardon me?
What is epeta? Is that there?
Then, I think. Yes, just the then. It's a temporal sort of a adverb, you might say. Epeta. Let's check and look that up there. It's just then or after this, something like that.
I don't think we've come across that before.
No, I guess that is new. It is new. Epeta.
It looks like it should be more important than it is.
Yeah. Epeta, adverb, yes, epi plus eta, thereupon, then, after that, in the next place, afterwards.
Apetanam?
No? Pardon me?
Is not from apetanam?
Apetanam?
Yeah.
Apetanam, no. Epi plus eta, thereupon, or then, after that, in the next place, afterwards. Apparently it's a temporal type of an adverb there. And,
but why would you? It doesn't seem like you would need that when you've got after this, isn't that?
Let's see. This is in verse 7, right?
Then after this, doesn't meta tuto mean?
Yes.
After this?
Yeah, that's right. But this probably just exegetical, just extra added meaning there. The next place afterwards, after this, he says to his disciples. It's just then, after this, you know, like we say then, after this, in the next place, you know. It just sort of so seems superfluous, but apparently they've got a little bit of a flavor to it. That's a sequential, a temporal sequence here. If they don't get it in the meta tuto, they get it in the epita. Sort of a doubling up, perhaps. Any other comment? Agomen is what, Ruth?
A present.
What?
Voice.
Or mood, I should say.
Is that subjunctive?
That is subjunctive. Agomen. See, the agomen, the omicron would be your regular indicative, but agomen, let us go. Hortatory subjunctive. See, let us go from ago. All right, any other questions on 7? All right, John 11:8 then, Ruth.
11:8. Legosin auto hoimathetai. Rabbi, nun ezitun se levasai hoi yudaioi kai palin yupages eke.
The disciples said to him, Rabbi, now they are seeking to stone, the Jews are seeking to stone you, and again you are going there?
And the ezetun would be zeto. And so really as they were seeking, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But they're saying in present time, and they are saying, or they said, historical present, you see. They said historical present in the past, but it's in the present, as we learned last week. They're saying, even now, they were seeking to stone you. Lefasai is what?
Would that be aorist?
Aorist, what?
Infinitive.
Infinitive, with the alpha iota of lepadzo, right? Aorist infinitive. And hupages, that's regular present, isn't it? Are you going over off there again? To that place. Any other question or comment on 8? Alright, John 11:9, please.
John 11:9. Apokrite ho Jesus, uchi dodeka esin horai tes himeras, ean tis peripate ente himera, u proskopte, hoti tophos tu kosmu tutu blepe.
Alright.
Jesus answered, it is true, is it not, that there are 12 hours in the day? If anyone should walk in the day, he is not stumbling, because the light of the world, because he sees the light of this world.
This world, mm-hmm. That's true, that's a truism, isn't it? Eisen present, peripate, subjunctive. Proskopte, singular present indicative proskopto, fall down. Blepe, again present of blepo. So all presents pretty well in there, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
All right, any other comments on that one or questions? You see the light of the world, you don't stumble. But the opposite now, it's verse 10, isn't it?
John 11:10. And tis peripate. Ente nupti, proskopte, hotitophos, ukestin, en auto.
All right.
But if anyone should walk in the night, he is stumbling, because the light is not in it or in him.
The light is not in it, I suppose, in the day. There's no light in the day. Would that be it? Let's see.
Or in the world?
In the world, yes. Cosmos. And it would be accusative, so it would be auto. Would it be neuter? Let me just see on that. That's a good exegetical point. I thought about that as I was listening in the car as an analysis there. Auto appears to be a neuter accusative. And
auto, isn't it?
Oh, excuse me, it is auto, isn't it? Oh, yes. Oh, in him. Yes, it would be in him. Oh, yes.
In it,
in the world.
In the world,
well,
that be
that's one of those.
Also?
It could be masculine, it could be neuter, couldn't it? Aute would be feminine, but auto is one of these things.
Does it mean in, it doesn't mean the light is in the world, or the light is in
him, in the man?
How do you know it doesn't mean in the world?
Well, you don't, because cosmos, you see, is partly masculine, and see, this could be even a neuter, if you have any neuter thing, because omega iota subscript is the same, isn't it, in the masculine and in the neuter. That particular form, auto, is identical. You can't tell from the locative instrumental dative case, but I would think either would be all right, whatever the sense would be. He does not fall because...
But before it says he falls because... he does not fall because he sees the light of this world.
Yeah, that's right.
And if anyone should walk in the night, he is falling because the light is not...
In it. In the world, probably.
I would
think so. Light in the world, that's right.
What does it say in the Bible where it translates it?
Okay, let's see if I've got that. That's 11,
and
verse what?
Anyway.
11 what? Number 9? But if a man walks in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. So they would go into the master there.
Mm-hmm. Why? Now, why
would
they do that?
I don't know. See, the light of this world, there's no light in him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's the fielder's choice. It's either in him or in the light in it. See, the world is about light. If it's talking about physical light.
Don't you feel the cold?
A little bit cold now?
Yeah.
Well, let me just see. Alright, I got that. Let me just shut this door over here so we can keep that. A little bit cold? Talking about the light?
Do you know what Socrates.
A little bit there.
Meant when he was walking during the day with the lamb?
Oh, Diogenes, that would be, rather than Socrates. Diogenes, in search of a honest man. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So I would say, Ruth, in answer, let me just look up just to be positive. Auto is the neuter or masculine. Locking of instrumental or beta. To be positive there. Auto. Yes, dative. Singular, masculine, and neuter. See? Mm-hmm. So either one from autos. Well, it just doesn't say in it, in him. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Either one are possible. I mean, it's a good translation of the KJV, but the question is interpretation. See, that's a different matter. And either one, I think it seems to be talking about the light in it that is in the world, it would seem like. But maybe the other verses beyond that will tell us. Any other comments on that one? Or questions? All right, let's take paripate. Of course, we got all these as the present subjunctive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ruth, next one, please.
John 11:11. Tauta ete kaimeta tuta lege autois Lazarus hophilos hemon ke koimetai.
Is that the end?
Alla,
no.
Forevermai hena exupliso auton.
Okay.
He said these things, and after this he is saying to them, Lazarus, our friend, has been sleeping, has slept. It's a perfect, how am I going to say it, has...
Yes, has been sleeping, a perfect passive, that's what you're getting at there, eh? Has gone to sleep. Has gone to sleep, has been sleeping, I guess you could say.
But I proceed in order that I should wake him up.
Mm-hmm.
I should awaken him.
Okay, I should take him out of that hypnotic state of sleep. Mm-hmm. That's good. Ex-hypnizo, from hex-hypnizo. Hypnizo. That's an interesting descriptive term. Kick. Koi metai, Ruth, as you said before.
That's the perfect term of
koi ma'o. Koi ma'o. That's perfect passive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect passive. So he has been, you see. Not he sleeps, or he has slept, but he has been sleeping. See, with a verb to be, that gives that passive twist. Yes, it's a little bit chilly, isn't it? I would get another... heater to put it there. It's just not this one doesn't
cold.
Not cold.
Oh, on.
Poor Mr. Arson there. I don't know what to.
I don't feel it's a.
All right, where are we at? First.
Going into 12.
12. All right, Ruth, take 12, please.
John 11:12. Epon un hoi matetai autu kudia e kekoimetai sothesetai. John.
Okay. Before we finish 11, ex upniso is what, Ruth?
Subjunctive
of ex upnizo, right. Aorist subjunctive. If I go, then I might wake him up out of sleep. All right, go right ahead with 12 then, please, Ruth.
Then the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has been sleeping, he will be saved.
Notice that word, sothena.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that verse?
Yeah.
See, that's what we discussed the other week, you remember. What are the meanings of sozo?
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's not always spiritual salvation. It's salvation by works. Here, he will be saved. He will be safe. He will be all right. He'll be delivered. There's nothing about it that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make out all right, in other words. That's what so then. So this word has all different types of meanings and nuances, touches and shades.
I used to say when I preach about salvation, salvation is not helping me if it's not accepted.
That's right. So, kekoimetai is what, Ruth, there? Similar to what we had before.
Same.
Perfect passive, koimao, right? Mm-hmm. If he has been sleeping, right? He has been sleeping, that's fine, no problem. All right, any other questions or comments on that one? So, tesetai is what?
The
future of sozo, right? Future. He will be saved. He will be saved. He will be saved. No problem there. All right, let's go to 13.
11:13. Ereke de ho Jesus, keritu fanatu autu. Ekinoi de edoxan hoti peri tes koi meseos tu hypnu lege.
All right.
But Jesus spoke concerning his death. But they thought that he was saying concerning...
Go ahead, instead of edoxon.
Pardon? Isn't that
so? Edoxon, no, well, I guess so. They thought, it seemed to them, right? Go ahead.
I think that he was speaking concerning the sleep of sleep, it looks like.
Yes. Yes, the sleep of rest, or the rest of sleep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between koimato or whatever and
hupnu? The koimato, I think, is the actual reclining.
Oh, huh.
And the hupnu is actually what you do after you do recline. I think that's the distinction. Koimato, let's see here if we can look
it's
up.
It's similar to the word bed or something.
Yeah, plenty is the word for bed. Koimato is... to lull, to sleep, to fall asleep, to be asleep, to sleep in death. Koimesis, metonymy is sleep, or rest, or repose. To sleep in death sometimes. And of course, for the Christian only, it's called sleep. The world, the unsaved, there's no sleep because there's no rest, saith my God to the wicked. They like trouble to see when it can't rest. But for the believer, sleep is a description of their death. Hypnos is,
From this kind, the word?
Hypnazo, from hypnotism, yes. Which I think is,
there must be a difference, or you wouldn't have used two words.
Yes.
The
yes, there is. I don't know the exact synonymous differential or something.
Hupnos.
You have it? I have a different one.
Bottom of
416. 416, okay.
Hupnos, just
this.
Slumber, sleep.
Spiritual slumber, sleep. I don't know that that Trench has got that particular one between it, but evidently the Koimadzo, to rest, he is at rest instead of sleep. I've gone to ex hypnos, so I snap him out of that slumber, and the hypnos apparently is what he's doing. Koimai, I think, is that reclining position. It means rest, too. He is at rest. He's resting, but he's also sleeping, I think. So that's it, the rest of sleep. That was 11, was it?
That means it's more than resting.
Yes, I think so.
It's more than.
They thought he was just speaking of the rest, the rest of sleep. That was 13, wasn't it? All right, I think everything is all right on that one. All right, 14. That is. Oops, I got the wrong button here.
Hoti peri tes koimeseos tu hyplu lege. John 11:14.
There we are.
Tote un epen autois hoiesus parecia Lazarus a Bethane.
All right.
Then Jesus said to them openly, Lazarus died.
Lazarus is dead. He's died. Openly and boldly and plainly.
Mm-hmm.
euphemism, as many people say, he passed, or he passed away. But he died. He's dead. Apethane is what, Ruth?
That's the heiress.
Heiress, that's right, or Apethanesco. All right, 11:15 then, please.
John 11:15. Kai chairo dihimas, hina testeros se te, hati uk emein eke.
Is that it?
Al agomen prosauton.
Okay.
And I rejoice because of you, in order that you should believe, because I was not being there.
All right, because I was
not finished. But let us go towards him. To him.
All right, let's go to him. That would be 15, wouldn't it be?
Yes.
All right, Cairo, present of Cairo, I rejoice, I'm happy because of you. Pistos sete is what, Ruth?
Subjunctive.
What tense? True?
The
heirs, because of the signals, the pistel, said of pistel. And the amen is what?
Amen is the imperfect.
Imperfect of amen. Oh, I was there. All right, any other questions or comments on 15? All right, 11:16 then.
John, 11:16. Epanun thomas, ha legomenos didymos, tois sumathetais, agomen kai hemes. Hina apophanomen meta tu.
All right.
Then Thomas said, the one being called Didymus of the fellow disciples, let us go, let us also go, in order that we should die with him.
All right.
Is not this Didymus the doctor?
Yes, that's the one. In John chapter, was it 20, 21, mm-hmm. whatever? 20, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Except I put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand to the side, I will not believe. And then the Lord appeared to him. And he was a symmathetes, a fellow disciple. Argomen is what, Ruth. Again, we see that.
Is that the hortatory
spectrum? Hortatory spectrum. Let us go. That's right. From Argo. And apophanomen, that in order that we might also die. And apophanomen is what? Tense, Ruth. Subjunctive of what?
That must be
aorist. Aorist, because apophanesco is a different root. See, apophanoman, mm-hmm. aorist subjunctive, that we may die once for all. Any other questions on that? He was bold, wasn't he? He didn't get the picture at all. All right, verse 17, please.
John 11:17. Elphon un ha Jesus, heren auton tesaras hemeras, eide, echonta, ento mnemeo.
Then Jesus going found
having gone,
I suppose that means Lazarus mm-hmm. having 3 days in the tomb
mm-hmm.
having been 3 days in the tomb
mm-hmm.
but it says
having spent 3 days.
That's all right.
Elphone, so having gone.
Wait, Elphone is.
Aorist to participle. Of. Erkamai, right? Like Elphone. Like Elphone, and that's Elphone. See, they don't have the augment when you have the participle. So it would be Elphone, but it's Elphone. Elphone would be obvious. Elphone, they went or came from Erkamai. But this is without the augment, so that was a little different. Heirs principle, having come. Any other questions on 17? Is it warmer, Mr. Arson? Do you feel
yes,
it? Heat?
Yes.
Rather than?
You want it, it's better.
You want it in a closer position to you?
No.
Do you feel it on the, to your left? Do you feel it?
It's good now.
Okay, that's good. I can even feel that. That's just a little small one heater there, but
mm-hmm.
that big one, I think I need to burn that wick out so that it'll burn higher. It just isn't, it should burn higher. That thing should just come out of there, that wick. And, it's sluggish, so I have to burn that wick a little. All right, Ruth, take the next and the last one, I think, is it? 18?
John 11:18. Ende he Bethania, engus ton Jerusalemon hos apoth stadion decapente.
Huh?
But Bethany was near Jerusalem, as 15 or about 15 stadia off away.
Okay.
That is the measure.
It was near, that's right. And that 15, I think, would be about 2 miles, two, 3 miles, I recall, the differential there. All right, anything on that one, 18? I think that was, Ain is imperfect. That shows it was near, and I guess that's about all we need. All right, any other comments on those? If not, we'll go on to Dana and Maddie, and I'll take the last few moments on that tonight. Dana and Maddie, page 189 this evening. We're talking there about the special uses of the imperfect. We took the regular uses last week, which would be the progressive imperfect, the customary imperfect, the iterative imperfect. Now the special uses, the tendential imperfect, similar to we had, remember, the tendential present. They had a tendency. They were going to call him Zechariah, Luke 1. 59. Ekalun auta Zakarian. They were going to call him. They had a tendency. They almost called him John. Or rather, Zechariah, excuse me. Rather than John. And they didn't. Any question on the tendential imperfect, similar to the present? And then, top of page 190 of Dana and Maddie, the voluntative imperfect, the wish or the want or the desire, seems like that was similar to the voluntative present. I'm not sure whether we had a customary present. I guess we didn't have a voluntary, but the wish or the desire and disposition, but the lack of realization. For instance, in Acts 25:22, indeed, I myself have been rather wanting to hear the man. This was, I think, Agrippa that said this, is it? Agrippa, I think.
Yes.
Abulamin, I was wanting to. You see, it's voluntative, imperfect. I was wanting to hear. Wishing, indeed, and rather wanting. The want is in the verb bulamai as well as in the imperfect. You have a double qualification, or will. Then the inceptive imperfect, that means at the very beginning of something. Inception is the beginning of an action, and one went to do a thing is the way we would say it. But in Luke 5:3, they give the example. Having sat down, he went to teaching the multitudes, kathesos, et didasken. He was teaching, yes. He wanted to teach, yes. He had a tendency to teach, yes. But he actually began to teach. See, inceptive imperfect. That's what he began to do. He went to teaching, or he got down to business, and he began to do it. See, that's the inceptive imperfect. Any questions on that one? There are some footnotes there, the example of the same spirit, the imperfect and aorist, is interesting. All drank the same spiritual drink. They were accustomed to drink the spirit. The continuous, that's the distinction right in the same verse, the aorist, epion, and the imperfect, epinon. So those are different. Any questions on these then? Imperfect? Let's go then to the future, 191, the future tense. That is to do with it's built on the aorist stem and the present stem, the aoristic or punctiliar significance usually, leading idea. And paraphrastic form is mentioned on the bottom of page 191. Then the different types of future, there are these five. First, the predictive future, simple, ordinary, predictive future. John 14:26, ekenos humas didaxe. He will teach you all things. That's just what's going to happen. He will do this, he will do that. Then the progressive future, sometimes it's the nature of a verbal situation that has the idea of progress in future time. For instance, in Philippians 1:18, in this I rejoice, and will continue to rejoice. Karesomai, and not only I will rejoice, but I will keep rejoicing. See, so in this case, the future that normally has just a point action like the aorist, I will just once and for all rejoice, it's I will keep rejoicing. I will go right on rejoicing. There's a progressive, almost like a imperfect or a present, you see, rather than an aoristic point. Then the third is the imperative future, Luke 1:13, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Kalesis, it's thou shalt call in the future, yes, but almost it's an order that is a command. Just like thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt, that's a future, but it's a command. See, it's an imperative future. So this is a perfectly good use of the future as an imperative. And then the fourth, top page 193, the deliberative future. John 6:68. Kuria prostina apelosamatha. Or to whom shall we go? It's a deliberative because it asks a question. Shall we, whom are we to go? It's sort of a rhetorical question, isn't it? To whom shall we go? Well, obviously, thou hast the words of eternal life, as Peter said, so we can't go to anybody, even though these are difficult words. The fact that you have to eat my blood and or eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Those are difficult words in John 6, that context, verse 16. And then the gnomic future, expected under normal conditions. It's a statement of fact or performance. Galatians 6:5, for each shall bear his own burden. Hekastos kar adian fortian pastase. Each shall bear, just a rightful expectation, a normal statement, the nomic in the sense of a normal type of thing. Each shall bear his own burden. It's just a regular occurrence. Everybody knows that this is the case. We have to carry our own burdens, and now, of course, we have Social Security and we have other things that help to carry us along, but normally we carry our own, right? Any other questions or comments on the future tense? Of course, it's formed with that sigma, similar to the all right. Then let's go to the aorist tense. Lots of writing on that. It's unlimited. A horistos. The word horistos comes from horizo, which means a belt. And a is the alpha privative, meaning no belt, no limit, no boundary at all. It's a limitless type thing. No essential temporal significance. It's time relations being only an indicative, but therefore it's timeless. But it's the action that's important. At top of 194. He had done this. But at poesa, yes, he did this. If we were to say, for instance, the duration, at poie means he was doing that. That's the imperfect. Pepoike tuta, he has done this. That's the perfect, at the bottom of page 193. Epepoike, epepoike, tutoke. He had done this, that would be your past perfect or pluperfect, but just simply epoiesa tuta, he did this, without implying it was either durative or perfective, just a point action, punctiliar action. That's the root idea of aorist. The aorist in the present is compared in that bottom of page 194 and contrasted, which you can look at. But 195, we start with the regular uses of the aorist. Any questions on this other before we begin the regular use? All right. Notice there are three diagrams here on the bottom of page 195. The first is the constitutive type of idea, the graph with the less than, the point, and then more than, or whatever you contrast those, more than or less than, depending on where you, how you're angling the thing. It's just a simple action. Then that's a continuous type action, or rather it's something that goes on in the past, comes, reaches a point, and seems to fade off the scene, I guess. But then there's a viewpoint of the initiation of the action. We call that the ingressive, the beginning type of action. Sometimes Robertson uses the word inchoative aorist. That means the beginning, inchoative, or inceptive, which we use for this other one tonight, inceptive imperfect, the ingressive, the beginning. Apethanen, he died. That's the beginning of his death. He died right from that point. He was dead the rest of the time. Then the ingressive could be diagrammed, the point action that continues on into the future. And then when the action is viewed in its results, it's called the culminative aorist. Abektenen, he killed. That's the result of his hatred. He ended up killing the wine and then the bada at the end. So anyway, those are the different. And if you want to use the word balein in the three views, to throw is constative, just throw. To let fly, that means when you begin to throw, that's ingressive. Or he hit after it went through the air and it ended somewhere. The culminative effect, he hit somebody with that balein. See. So balo can be either throw, let fly, or hit, depending on the idea. Any questions on those? Then, so we have the constative Aristotle 196, John 2:20. This temple was built in 46 years. And just that word oikodomethe was built, and that's aorist. It's constative. It just was built. It took 40 years to do it, but you look at it as if it's just one action, extended duration. So that's your constative. The ingressive, the idea of letting fly or beginning the action, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for your sakes he became poor. Eptochiosen. The aorist there, he began to be poor for your sakes. He lowered himself, came from heaven's glory, and took upon himself the form of humanity, and in the sense of began to be poor for your sake. And the culminative aorist, Philippians 4:11, the end of the action, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am. I have learned, emaphon. It's the result of learning, and it's the final end of it. It's looking at the end result, the learning that has made him content. So that would be the culminative errors. Any questions or comments on any of these?
Why didn't they transcribe that? Why did they translate it, I learned?
Just
why
plain.
Did they put that have in there?
Well, sometimes the aorist is better understood by the English perfect, present perfect tense. And I think that this probably is an indication of that.
Because
it is the culminative type aorist.
Because of the kind of verb it's talking about.
Yes, and also the result. In other words, it's just not I learn all of a sudden, just, but it's, you see, through long whatsoever state I am, there with the beginning, I have learned. See, in other words, it's not the beginning of the act, it's not even the center, but it's at the end of a long process. I have learned. See, I learned. In other words, the King James translators, many of these times where a lot of these young boys that are not even right behind the ears, but they're making these new translations, you know, just fresh out of seminary, the NIV and the NASB, they say, oh, aorist can never translate like a perfect, you know, so they stick right rigidly. But these men, they knew the different shades of meaning, they knew the different types, and they felt, apparently, that this aorist was not emphasizing the beginning of the action, or the action, is, but the end of the action, and therefore it's I have learned over a period of time, which is similar to our perfect, you see.
Now these different things, these different kinds of aorists, where did they get these from? Is this they compare it to regular koine from other?
Yes.
Is that how they gather this, that it's used in these various ways, or is this confined to the scripture?
Well, this is confined, I think, to scripture, but also to other usages. For instance, A.T. Robinson's Large Grammar, that huge, big, fat one there, is the one that breaks these all down, I think, pretty much like this. And he sees these different uses by looking at the entire New Testament Greek, but also the Septuagint, because that's a Koine Greek also, and then I think the papyri and the regular documents that you read that are also Koine. And these are uses that man has devised to make it easier to put a label on certain things as you analyze scriptures. See, now, a lot of books, Greek books, and of course secular Greek books, never go into this detail at all because they don't care what a tense is. But only to us who know and believe that these words are the words of God do we try to get into the finer points. So we may quibble with this and that and find out, is it this or is it that, or is this a valid use? But these have resulted from an observation of many different New Testament verses whereby that seems to be used in this particular sense, and that's how they put it on. We could perhaps add a couple of extra uses, some shades, and he discusses sometimes, you know, in the small footnotes as to what grammarians say about it and how they were different. But a lot of these, this data in Matty is a result of the A.T. Robertson's approach to finally dividing these things. And he's put it into a smaller compass than the big fat book to make it easy. But that's it, Ruth. They just say what it is and how it is, and then they try to give a particular name to it so that we can sum it up. Any other question or comment? All right, would one of you lead in a closing word of prayer then? I appreciate your good attention. Did well tonight as we close.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword which cuts down deep in the heart of man. Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for this opportunity that was given unto us to study the Word of God through this difficult language. Father, give us a receptive mind and heart to understand better what thou wanted to say unto us, so that we can use more efficiently while we are speaking to others. Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for Dr. Waite, for his work, what he is doing, teaching us and opening his house unto us. Father, we do thank thee for Ruth, that she is so much studying that I can learn many things from her too. Father, we pray for Bill, as he could not be with us. Be with him. Protect him. Guide him and use him for thy glory. In Jesus' name, to thee we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. All right, we're dismissed.
Don't wait. This book here.